My name is Brian Brooks. I am the executive director of the Idaho Wildlife Federation.
You've been watching pretty closely, as many of us have, what's going on with the tri-state effort to try to save some of these salmon runs. Bring us up to date on what's going on. What are some of the problems and challenges facing this effort right now?
The challenges are ecological, they're economic, and they are political. And they have been that way for decades. And there's some structural problems with the recovery efforts of fish in general. What I mean by that is that we have a power marketer, the Bonneville Power Administration, that has been in charge of fish recovery efforts for the last few decades. Many people and now folks, elected officials in Congress, are beginning to see that maybe a power marketing company should not be in charge of the biological recovery of fish. And so it's a long-standing issue, decades long. I'm sure most folks understand that, but it's the last 5 decades after the completion of the last dam, the highest dam in the Columbia River Snake River system, we have seen a continued drop trajectory towards extinction for our salmon and steelhead. And since then, we have implemented measures that were meant to help fish. Some have been helpful. We have spent billions of dollars to create hatchery programs to augment the loss of our wild fish that were supposed to supply fish to recreational fisheries, the towns that rely on the economics, the industry around recreational fishing, the tribal and cultural importance of these fish to the Native American tribes all along in the Northwest is a very complex problem when we're asking what is hurting our fish. If loss of habitat over the last century, development that encroaches on habitat, channelizing streams that used to meander and really getting the water faster out of where these fish need to live. Hatcheries are also having an impact on the wild fish. We have harvest in the freshwater and in the ocean that impacts these fish. And we have the hydro system on the Columbia and Snake Rivers and in the tributaries that have either blocked entirely fish returning to their native spawning grounds and the fish that we still do have getting to their native spawning grounds, say in the upper reaches of the Salmon River, they have to go through 8 dams oceanward and then those same 8 dams on their way back up. Quite a few things that are impacting our fish. We have worked on a lot of them. We've done a lot of habitat restoration. We have implemented best management practices for hatcheries to try to limit the impact that hatchery fish have on native fish. We tried augmenting the water flow through the dams through certain times of the year to help, but none of it has really had the impact that we want to see. It has helped fish. It has probably staved off extinction, but it has not gotten us to the healthy and harvestable levels that people are demanding. The political outcry from communities, from tribes, from impacted interests has reached a fever pitch to the point where it's echoing in the halls of Congress in D.C., thousands of miles away from the West Coast. So it certainly reached a new level of interest and advocacy.
I wonder what your thoughts are now that it looks like we're going to have much different leadership in Washington. What does that do to the efforts in terms of the Pacific Northwest and its salmon and steelhead?
That's a great question. As a rule, I never bet on legislation, but the fix for salmon and steelhead, because it's so broad, it involves multiple states in the U.S., and there's even some international implications with Canada as far as water flow into the upper reaches of the Columbia River. It will require an act of Congress and a signature by the president. My hope is that there is a renewed interest in a massive infrastructure bill that will address not only the hydro infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure in the Northwest, but obviously there are issues across our country, the crumbling bridges and roads, stuff like that. But this is an infrastructure problem. When you talk about salmon and steelhead, you cannot not talk about hydroelectricity, about the services that the dams provide, transporting agricultural commodities from upstream to downstream and back up, because those are the hydroelectric system, though it does produce a marginal amount of power and transportation for product, they are the main culprit killing our fish that is man-made. 50% of Idaho's fish are killed on their oceanward migration from where they spawned to the ocean. That travel that used to take as little as 2 days. They would flush to the ocean with the spring freshet, with all the snow melt and rain. It would take very few days. Now it can take upwards of 40 days. And it's in that 40 days in the hot, stagnant ponds that are reservoirs that are created. There are predatory fish now that are introduced, like walleye, bass, that really thrive in those kinds of ecosystems that are eating our salmon. There are predatory birds that these reservoirs make easy pickings for our baby fish, our smolts. And so you can't talk about salmon recovery without also talking about adjusting the hydro system. And you can't talk about the hydro system without talking about the services they provide. And so any infrastructure bill will need to replace the services that the dams provide. But right now, that's a pretty easy fix, I think, for a new Congress. Because if you want to look at the services they provide, it used to be a legitimately oddball idea to breach the dams in favor of fish. But shipping on the river through the river system, specifically the Upper Snake River Dam, is down 80%. They're at about 50% of their break-even point from an economic standpoint. And that means that taxpayers are shouldering the rest of what they can't come up with. The power that those dams replace is really only needed. The most of the power they can generate is mostly during the spring runoff, when people aren't really turning on a lot of their heaters and their AC units when the demand is really high. The Bonneville Power Administration sells power at $36 per megawatt hour, while their competitors are selling it at $22, almost half. There's no real solution for Bonneville to become competitive, and it is a government entity. And so what we're hoping is that people see that for every dollar we put into the current system, we get about 15 to 20% back, which is not good. It's not a revenue producer. In fact, it's a major economic loser. So is there a way then that we can reimagine this system, pass a massive infrastructure bill that has support of Republicans and Democrats that brings high-paying jobs to not only breach the lower Sephora Snake River dams, which is relatively easy. You really just need to take out the earthen portion of these dams. It won't take long. It's actually they were built with deconstruction in mind. And actually, if we ever needed them again, all you have to do is plug that back up with earth. The concrete portions will stay there forever, likely. But we can get high-paying jobs to deconstruct the dams, to replace with new energy generation projects. We can upgrade the rail system that already exists. We can upgrade the rail terminals. This economic region in Idaho, the Clearwater region, is economically depressed. I think from 2013 to 2018, the state of Idaho saw a 50% growth in the opening of private businesses. The Clearwater economic region, which is impacted by the dam, saw a 0.1%, 0.1% growth, while the rest of Idaho experienced 50% growth. To say that these dams are economically important is simply not true anymore. And they're costing ratepayers money, they're costing taxpayers money. So hopefully a new administration, a new makeup of Congress is more willing to really tackle these issues that are costing Americans money by not addressing them. Of course, it will take money to fix, but that will be a job and growth generator for this region that so desperately needs it. And in the meantime, while we do that, we can also do it in a way that benefits fish immensely. And then we will get back this, what we call a silent economy, this hidden economy of the fishing industry. Fishing can be a $1 billion industry in Idaho alone for salmon and steelhead if we just get these fish back. And those most impacted by fish coming back will be the rural economy, towns that have less than 1,000 people who desperately need diversification in their revenue. And that can be fish. It might be hard for people to understand how important that is, how fish can be important to a rural town. When we had the cancellation of the winter steelhead season on the Clearwater River alone, that region, a few little towns that have maybe 2,000 to 500 people on the river, lost almost $9 million a month in revenues from people staying at hotels, lack of people going to restaurants, gas station, coffee shops, grocery stores.
Most of our audience is in Oregon and Washington State. Can you give us an idea of the significance of the salmon and steelhead for Oregon and Washington as well?
It's impossible to talk about Oregon and Washington's fish without also mentioning Idaho, because the main stem of the Columbia, a lot of those fish that people fish both commercially and recreationally and for tribal interests, a lot of the spawning ground is in Idaho. So we have a lion's share of the spawning ground, and a lot of it is located in pristine habitat. We have this 5-star hotel, but the fish aren't getting here in large part because of the hydro system. So if we address this, it will help fish get back to Idaho. But these are fish that go through Oregon and Washington. It benefits all three states. We are all connected in this. And I think that's kind of the significance of what's happening now from the grassroots level and politically, is that the states are coming together in a unified advocacy effort, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, to basically recognize that we are all in this together. When one state does, impact the others. And the fishing, I think, the fish may even carry more significance in Washington and Oregon, because there are tributaries that spur off of the Columbia that go north up into Washington and south into Oregon. So there's actually there's a lot more fish. That they have a few less barriers to go through, but they're also depressed, the runs are, because of habitat, again, hydro operations. And there's some predation issues, artificially inflated predator populations that are also a cause of the hydro system. But they are all connected. And in Oregon and Washington, you have far more commercial operators. In Oregon and Washington, there's a juggernaut there, and that is the commercial fishing industry. And they are hurting right now. And typically, the commercial and the sport fishermen have been at odds, butting heads with each other, and they always likely will, because they want what they perceive as equitable shares of harvest. But they are coming together in ways we have not seen before, because everyone is losing. And it's really scary, but I've never been more hopeful, because this crisis is bringing new allies together to find comprehensive solutions that benefit all three states.
Okay, so what's the next step for the working group's recommendations, and, you know, what happens from here? I know the three states are trying to come up with a pact.
Yeah, so all the states kind of have their own, indicative of how important this issue is, how the crisis has really reached new levels, is that each three states kind of taken on their own version of a stakeholder process to figure out what we can do for fish. All of us knew likely going into it, and that was confirmed at the culmination of each process, that, again, no state has the power to fix this on their own. And so there has been an urging at the grassroots level, and supported by each of the state's efforts, to form this regional process of governors who need to get together with the sovereign nations of the tribes in the Northwest. And we would also like our congressional representation delegates, so senators and congressmen from each of the four states. It's important to recognize Montana in this, because they do have some federal power generation infrastructure and water that is sent downstream that benefits fish. So it's actually four states that are involved. But we need their congressmen and senators and congressional level involved too, because the fix must come from federal legislation. It is that big of an issue. It is that comprehensive. If we just have four governors getting their heads together, we don't have the resources as well that will be needed. I mean, and like I said, the biggest man-made problem is the hydro system. Those are federal dams. So the next step, people need to continue. The folks that are already involved, I have to make a plea here for folks to continue to stay involved, to step up their advocacy, talk to their county commissioners, talk to their chambers of commerce, let them know how important fish are. Those local, we call them grass tops. A senator will reach out to county commissioners. What are you hearing about salmon and steelhead? So we need to pick up that effort. We also need to have people that are already involved reach out to their friends and family who want fish around, who fish for these fish, who have just any sort of value associated with them. Get them involved now too, because we are seeing the momentum pick up, but that momentum will only be sustained if we get more people involved. And the next step then, from the political side, if we can get that grassroots support to continue, I really think that we will show to Congress that this is an issue that the people demand change for. And I think it's relatively easy for senators and congressmen, say, on the East Coast, to look on paper, look at how much federal dollars are going into the system and how little is output. I think that's actually relatively easy to convince them that this is a change that needs to happen. It's the local delegates that we need to focus on that are attached to this at an emotional level, at a political level, that might not make a whole lot of sense. Like, why would we be championing the status quo, a system that gives us so little back, it costs us so much, including the extinction of a fish? But that's just politics in America. And so I do think that there are conversations happening that have never happened before. There is more momentum behind this to fix the funding structure of BPA, get them out of the fish recovery game, change the system in a way that provides alternative power sources, alternative transportation sources, breaches the dams, which will bring our fish back and the economy and culture that's tied to them as well. I am hopeful in a time where I think that people are really craving hope, and I think this is one of those issues. Wildlife is a very unifying issue in this country still, and that is evidenced by a lot of the pro-conservation measures that have been passed in the last 4 years, despite all the chaos surrounding other issues.
Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate your insight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was Brian Brooks, the Executive Director of the Idaho Wildlife Federation.